Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this online service from Olney Baptist Church. My name is Sid Bond, and I am one of the elders at the church. The service this morning is different than our usual service. It is a mission service. Our focus is the Guinea-Bissau 2 Hospital in the country of Chad in North Africa, which is supported and financed by the Baptist Missionary Society. We pray you will find it interesting and informative and also encouraging. The scripture verses for this week are from Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Let's pray, shall we? Lord of all, thank you for this new day. We thank you that your love and your mercy are unchanged and constant as they were yesterday and the day before. We praise you that you are our solid ground of truth and righteousness. We praise you, the God of creation, for you are our hope, peace, wisdom, and our guide for today and the future. Encourage and enthuse us as we listen and pray this morning, that we may serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first hymn this morning, there's no number to it, but I'm sure you'll all know it. When I needed a neighbour, were you there? Were you there? And this is a reminder that we all have neighbours. And that Jesus said that the second commandment was love your neighbour as yourself. And so as we listen to the report from Guinea-Bissau Hospital, the doctors and the nurses there, they're all neighbours to their patients. And they're all neighbours to the pregnant ladies who come in to give birth. So here we go with, when I needed a neighbour, were you there?
I was hungry.
Well, our main reading this morning is from Mark chapter 2 and it's verses 1 to 12. And Fiona is going to read to us now.
The reading is from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof, above Jesus, by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
And now we come to our prayers of intercession. And Margaret is going to lead us in our prayers. So let's all bow our heads and pray, shall we?
Father, as we come to pray this morning, we would remind ourselves that you are an omnipresent God. And so, Lord, we're grateful and we thank you that you are with each of us, no matter where we are or no matter what our circumstances are. And help us, Lord, to sense your presence with us. And help us to understand and to sense that there is a unity of spirit as we each belong to you. Father, it never ceases to amaze us that as we come into your presence, we know that we are with the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of creation, the God of all power and might and strength. And yet because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his life and death and resurrection, we dare to call you our Father. And our Father, there's much that we could pray about this morning as we think about the world and all that is happening. We pray for Myanmar, for Hong Kong, for Syria, for China, and for the many places, Lord, where people are living in very difficult circumstances, where people are homeless and stateless, those that are oppressed, where many are hungry, where children have lack of education, where there's sickness, lack of clean water. And Father, we pray for these places and we pray for the people of this world, and we ask, Father, that you will look upon them in mercy. And Father, it would be so easy to become depressed and anxious, but we thank you that you are the living God and that your plans and purposes are being worked out each day. We thank you for the hope that we have that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again and that he will set up his kingdom of righteousness and justice and peace. So, Lord, we do, as we come to bring our petitions, we do with confidence and with hope and with the assurance that you will hear and answer our prayers. Lord, as this is Mission Sunday, we pray particularly for all missionaries. We thank you for them, and we ask that you will encourage and strengthen them, Lord, as they so willingly and lovingly give their gifts and their skills to serve you and other people. Especially this morning, we want to pray for Chad. Lord, we know that this is a country with great difficulties, with much poverty, where very few have clean water, where there's kidnapping and violent crime, and where they live in the fear of Boko Haram. But Lord, we want to bless and thank you for all the things that are going on. We thank you for the hospital there, for Guinabar the second, and for all the dedicated and loving work of doctors and nurses, midwives, of pastors and teachers and counsellors, Lord. Father, we thank you for their love, for their care. We thank you that people who have nothing and who are sick can go there, and they can glimpse something of your love and your mercy. And we thank you, Father, that the doctors and the nurses are free to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this freedom, Lord. And we thank you that many people that go there not only receive healing physically, but spiritually. That many, their faith grows, they're encouraged, and others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and know you as a loving Father. Father God, we think this is wonderful, and we ask that you will bless this hospital, that you will meet the needs of the people there, that you will encourage the doctors and the nurses and the staff, and Lord, that they will stay COVID free, that your strength will be theirs. And Father, we ask that you will bless the Baptist Missionary Society, that they will receive the funds that they need. Father, we also pray for the government of Chad. We pray that they will bring stability to their country, and that they will govern righteously. We pray for the area around, for Libya, Sudan and Central African Republic. Father, that you will bless and prosper the work of men and women whose hearts are set on peace and whose hearts are set on blessing others. And Father God, we pray that you will help us to remember that we too have a responsibility for our neighbours, and that you will show us the ways in which we can support the work in Chad and the work of the Baptist Missionary Society. We pray, Father, for our own country. We pray for our Queen and for the Royal Family. We pray for the government, especially for our Prime Minister. We ask that you will give him wisdom in the decisions he has to make. We pray for the National Health Service, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Father, we ask that you will come and help our doctors and nurses and all the people that work so hard, carers and cleaners and people who provide meals. Father, so many workers that help us as a nation and help the sick and the elderly. Father, we ask that your blessing will be upon them, and we thank you for them. We pray for our schools and for our teachers and the young people. We think of the sick and the lonely. Father God, and we ask that they might know your presence also. We pray especially for the fellowship at Sutcliffe. We pray for our elderly. We pray for those that are sick. And Lord, we just name them before you. We pray, Father, that they will know the healing presence of your Holy Spirit and the comfort of your peace. We pray, Lord, that for a new minister to lead us. We ask that you will just bring the man of your choice, Father. We ask your blessing upon the leaders of this church, for elders and deacons. Father God, we're so much in need of your help as a country, as a community, and as a fellowship. But we thank you that you are an unchanging and a faithful God. And we thank you that each day and each morning we know your mercies and enjoy your presence. And so ask, Lord, now that you will hear our prayers, because we pray them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our next reading, which is a very short one, is from Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom preferred for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And now we come to our second hymn. It's hymn number 54, and it's "Brother, Let Me Be Your Servant." And this speaks of the situation where the hymn is saying, "Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you." We can all be servants, and of course, as Christians, we are called to serve God. We can all be servants by praying and giving to all kinds of Christian charities, including the BMS, which we are hearing about this morning. And also, of course, we are called to serve each other. And so this reminds us of that, "Brother, let me be your servant."
Thank you. On a journey, we are brothers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through.
Well, soon we'll come to the main audio message and the message from the junior doctor this morning. And I just wanted to give you some information about Chad. First of all, you might say, well, where is Chad? Well, I want to want you to imagine the continent of Africa. And right at the top, the north of Africa, we have five countries reading from left to right. So starting on your left, we've got Morocco, and then we've got Algeria next to it. Then we've got Tunisia. Then there is Libya. Then there is Egypt. They're all right at the top of the African continent. Now, if you look at Libya, which is the third from the left, underneath Libya is Chad. And that's where Chad is. It's in North Africa. And let me tell you a little bit about them. It has a population of 16 million people. It is a landlocked country. It has it's a Muslim majority country. And Christians are the poorest of Chad's society. They have one doctor for every 25,000 people. And the life expectancy is 50 years old. So that gives you a little bit of information, a little bit of background as to Chad. Not a country that we hear a lot about, really. And Guinea-Bissau Hospital is situated in the Sahel Desert area. So the hospital is in a desert area. Now let me explain a little bit about what you're going to hear. Because this soundtrack, this audio which you're going to hear now, is taken from the soundtrack of the BMS video, which I hope that you've already looked at, viewed. If you haven't, I would encourage you to watch it today sometime after you've heard this service, because it is really well worth looking at. As I say, the hospital is called Guinea-Bissau 2 in the Sahel desert area of Chad. So first of all, what you'll hear is an introduction by Dr. Monty Lyman. Now, Monty Lyman is a junior doctor in the NHS here, and it's he who will be giving the sermon this morning. But before we get to Monty Lyman and the sermon, the first part of the video, you will hear one of the black doctors speaking. Now, that's not very easy to understand. After him, you'll hear some music. And then after the music, you'll hear comments from doctors and nurses who work at the hospital. So be a little bit patient with it, because it's worth listening to. And I'm sure that you will find it helpful and instructive. And after you've heard the doctors and the nurses, then you will hear Dr. Lyman's sermon.
Perspective is often very humbling. I'm a doctor working in the NHS, and even though we're in the midst of fighting an unprecedented pandemic, Britain's healthcare system has been coping well. It's been amazing to see the mobilisation of thousands of new employees and the redeployment of existing doctors and nurses, the building of brand new 4,000 bed hospitals in a matter of weeks, and businesses and universities working together to design ventilators and test vaccines. This is partly because we're fortunate enough to live in a wealthy and well-resourced country. The situation is completely different for the remarkable staff at the Guinea Bor 2 hospital in Chad. Despite limited resources, they treat anyone who comes through the doors of their desert hospital, often people who are desperately poor and could never afford fees for treatment at a government hospital. There's no better place to see this than for yourself in BMS World Mission's New Harvest video appeal, Operation Chad. Let's take a look at the video now.
Well, I'm praying up every day that God will protect us. I pray that God will protect our team. So taking precautions, but praying a lot so that God will prevent us from being caught in COVID. The heat is there and the fear of coronavirus is there. There is a lot of stress.
How are you? Are you tired?
Well, I'm still carrying on. It's fine. That's my normal life.
I feel like it's a privilege to take care of people and make sure that they're healthy. I'm so happy to do that every day, even though in the evening I'm exhausted. But I will say, though, thank you, because you have granted me the privilege. So restore me and I will be able to do it tomorrow again. So I've seen God really moving, because people come to the hospital desperate and they move out of the hospital full of joy. So I'm so happy to do that. I'm committed to do more.
It was raining, and the van I was driving skidded and flipped over. I was terrified. I lost consciousness for an hour. I couldn't see anything. I lost the ability to do anything. A doctor in Cameroon wanted to amputate my leg. I spent 5 months with traditional healers. I suffered terribly. My boss told me that he'd been in a similar accident. But when he went to Ginnambur 2 Hospital, he got better. That's why he brought me here. My leg is starting to heal. The doctors here are really looking after me. I think that by the grace of God, everything is going to be okay.
For those who have no idea about Chad and about Ginnambur Hospital, Chad is a country where most of the people don't earn much to survive, and they need care. So the most that most people come here because they know that they don't have much, but we're gonna care for them. I would say to anyone who is hearing this message, you can make a difference in many lives.
My boy is alive thanks to this hospital.
Coming here has strengthened my faith. I'm so happy. I trusted the midwives. I knew I'd have a good birth.
If my family, my friend, my brother fell ill, I'd call Kabasu.
You can save a life. You can bring someone to Jesus. That's for eternal life. So there is a lot to give.
Today, I can give malaria treatments to patients who come to us.
Today, I can diagnose over 30 patients. Will you help me?
Today, I can give the right medicine to the people who desperately need it. Will you help me?
Today, as a doctor, I'm pleased to heal people that come to this hospital.
Today, as a midwife, I can help 10 mothers give birth.
Today, I can help ensure that we give quality care to all of our patients.
Today, I can pray with patients in the operating theatre. Will you help me?
We have Jesus to give to people, but we have skills to give good quality care.
It costs just £13 to ensure each patient receives the quality care they need. For £13, you could help us save a life. And if you could give more, £80 can provide a nurse to take care of critically ill patients for a whole week. And could your fellowship come together to raise £695? That would mean 52 patients being cared for, 4 life-saving surgeries, and 5 babies making it safely into the world.
We deliver babies. We remove cancers. We stitch up gunshots. We identify coronavirus symptoms and get sufferers the help they need. We bind up wounds and perform surgery. We pray for the brokenhearted. We show poor people a Christian welcome and we see them come to faith in Jesus. We do all of this every day. We do it through the heat and the long hours and the tears. We do it through the fear of Boko Haram. We do it because people here need us and because Jesus commands it. We do it thanks to you.
I'm proud of the hospital because the hospital is really making a big difference.
As COVID-19 began to affect Africa, the resources of this extraordinary hospital were tested in an unimaginable way. What drives the medical staff to joyfully dedicate their lives to looking after sick and destitute strangers? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27 read, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Being made in the image of God means that every human has incredible value because they are in some way like God, the created reflecting the creator. This value is not something we earn and is not a capacity we can lose. It is bestowed on the rich and on the poor, on the healthy and on the sick. It is a gift. This wonderful truth is something to marvel at and be thankful for. Something that compelled David to sing, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour." That's from Psalm 8. It's clear from the creation account and David's psalm that as image bearers we are loved and cared for by God. This is the case despite our image having been tainted, physically and spiritually, after sin came into the world. We see its effects all around us, in broken relationships and broken bodies. This brokenness brings us to the core of the Christian faith. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus into the world. He lived without sin amongst us, died on the cross in our place, and rose again to bring us back into a relationship with God. In his ministry, Jesus gave hope to those with broken bodies by healing the sick. But he also used this to point to healing from an even greater sickness. This passage is from Mark chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. It was in Jesus' resurrection that we most clearly see the value of humans, including the physical human body, as being part of the image of God. We see this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, that God looked at his creation, of which humankind was the pinnacle, and saw that it was very good. This is why the healthcare workers at Guinea War 2 Hospital in Chad are so passionate in their care for the physical, psychological, and ultimately spiritual needs of their patients. As Bethan Shrubsole says in the video, "We deliver babies, we remove cancers, we stitch up gunshots, we bind up wounds and perform surgeries, we pray for the brokenhearted, we show poor people a Christian welcome, and we see them come to faith in Jesus. We do all of this every day. We do it through the heat and the long hours and the tears. We do it because people here need us and because Jesus commands it. Despite limited resources and constant demands, they are compelled to follow Jesus' example in loving their fellow image bearers in Chad, attending to broken bodies and sharing the gospel, bringing temporary healing and eternal hope. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 55, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?"
I think one of the things that will be in your mind as you've heard what has been said on that soundtrack, what it brings to us really is how much that God has blessed us in this country for all that we have, for all that God has blessed us with, for the first class health service that we have, and also that we live in a peaceful country. So we have much to thank God for and to be grateful to God for. And now we come to our final hymn, hymn number 1569. "To him we come, Jesus Christ our Lord." And this reminds us, this hymn, that Jesus is our strength and our stay. He's our life and truth and way. He's our friend divine. And it's also, we live in this world and we serve him. It's for him we go, soldiers of the cross. And it's him that we serve. And it's his work that we share. And as we've heard about the doctors and nurses and all who work for BMS at Chad and around the world, we also, God calls us to serve him here. So let's serve him with gladness and with joy. To him we come is the hymn. Just before we come to our final prayer this morning, I just want to say, if you do want to give to this work at Chad, you can do. You can do so by giving via the BMS website, or you can send a cheque, or if you're having some difficulty, you want to give, but you're having some difficulty, have a word with Dave. I'd like to thank Fiona and Margaret for taking part this morning. I'd like to thank Jonathan and Catherine also for taking part this morning for their contribution. And we're going to close in prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you have provided for us. All that you have given us in Jesus. We do thank you that you are Lord of all, and that heaven and earth belong to you, and that we belong to you, that we are your children, blessed by you and also loved by you. So, Father, help us to love you more and more. Help us to serve you as best we can. And we do ask that our lives will be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so we do bless your name and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.